it's wonderful to be able to speak to you this morning, whether you're here in the building or watching on YouTube. My name is Rosie Eaton. I'm a member of the Ministry Leadership Team here, as we heard about this morning. And I'm really privileged to speak to you today about Sabbath as a way of life. It's been really great for me to spend time meditating on this, actually, and reflecting on it. But as we start this morning, I'd like you to close your eyes, wherever you're sat, and just relax for a moment. Notice how you're feeling, the feel of the chair you're sitting in. How else are you feeling? I reckon some of you will be feeling tired, maybe weary. Keep your eyes closed as I read these words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news for us and our society and our colleagues? Aren't we living in an epidemic of weariness and we long for deep rest? And maybe all you need to hear this morning is that invitation from Jesus, in which case you have my permission to have a little doze for the next 20 minutes. That's fine. But if not, do open your eyes again, and we're going to look through these verses together. So we're going to look at three headings this morning. Sabbath at creation, because God created Sabbath as a way of life. Sabbath as a weekly discipline. God commanded his people to Sabbath weekly. And Sabbath as a way of life, because God calls us to Sabbath through Jesus. So we're going to start with Sabbath at creation, and we've actually already had our first reading from Genesis chapter 2. Do keep your Bibles open if you're able. We're going to look at a couple of passages this morning. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So when God had finished creating the universe, as you do, he looked at it and we're told it was very good. The heavens and the earth were completed, so God stopped and rested. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it quite hard to identify with that because, well, first of all, I've never created a universe. But secondly, it's rare that I complete something, take a step back, thank you, and say, that's really good. I'm going to stop there. There's always something, isn't there, that's not quite perfect, something that you haven't quite had time to finish, something that's not quite as you imagined it, as you wanted it. But hold that thought, more on that later. For God, he had finished and it was good. So he stopped and rested. He, Sabbath, it's actually a verb. The Hebrew word Shabbat means to rest from work. But it's funny, isn't it? He rested on day seven, but God didn't then have a good sleep and go back to day one to start creating again, did he? No, he continued in this day seven state, this state of Sabbath. And I think that that's how God intended creation to be, in this state of rest. So we're just going to look for a couple of minutes at some of the features of that first Sabbath rest. Here we go, brilliant. So first of all, rest. God stops, as we said. I think the second characteristic is worship. Chris Wigram shared with us a couple of weeks ago about how God created this universe to be a temple of worship. We were designed to do that. That's part of the Sabbath rest. And in Genesis 3, verse 8, we read about Adam and Eve being in relationship with God. God walks in the shade of the garden in the cool of the day, calling to Adam and Eve. I think that that is such a beautiful picture of rest, strolling with God amongst the trees at dusk, perhaps with the birds singing. And that's the kind of worshipful Sabbath that God intended. And then there was community. Adam and Eve, the first humans, were at peace with each other, in community with each other. We're told in Genesis 2:25 that they were naked and felt no shame. There's lots to unpack just in those words, but there's definitely a peace and an ease between them that God intended. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because this Sabbath rest, there was actually some work that needed to be done. In Genesis 1:28 and 2:15, we're told that God had given humans work to do. They were to care for creation. And yet, it wasn't a difficult work. It was satisfying and fulfilling and pleasing work. We're going to come back to these strands of rest and worship and community as we go through this morning. But of course, we only have to turn the page to Genesis chapter 3 to see that the Sabbath way of life didn't last long. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they chose to worship themselves instead of him. That strand of worship was broken. They then fell out of community with each other, didn't they? That ease and that friendship between them was broken, and their community with God was broken too. But actually, their relationship with work was also disrupted. This is Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19. I won't read all of it, but we can see here that after the fall, work went from being fulfilling and pleasing and satisfying to being painful, frustrating, and ultimately futile. The rest of Genesis chapter 2 had gone. Now, it's worth saying at this point that I'm going to use the word work quite a lot this morning, and I want to be really clear that I don't just mean paid employment. There are so many other types of work, aren't there? There's housework. There's childcare. Those of you with a newborn, you'll know it's very hard to find any rest at all when you have a baby. There's voluntary work. And in that category of voluntary work, I would include the work a lot of you do on a Sunday morning or other times during the week here at Fairfield. Thank you to those who are working this morning. There's schoolwork and study. There's a definition of work that I quite liked that was an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result, or a task or tasks to be undertaken. So we all have work that we do, whether or not we're paid for it. So at the fall, humans' relationship with work became broken, and we now need rest. We need physical rest. We need mental and emotional rest, and we need spiritual rest, because work is really tiring and difficult and frustrating. And so throughout the Old Testament, God commanded his people to Sabbath rest each week. So it became not a way of life forever, but a weekly event, a weekly discipline, in fact. And that's what we're going to look at next. So Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments, reads, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." So what characterizes this weekly Sabbath rest? Well, the first thing that really jumps out is that it's holy. That means it's set apart for God. It's honoring to him. And I think that holiness implies taking time to deliberately worship God, to contemplate him, to meditate on him. So we see that strand of worship again. Secondly, the Sabbath day is to be set aside for rest from work. So work is constrained to 6 days, and the seventh day, you stop work. Thirdly, it implies community. So this Sabbath rest applies not just to you, but to your direct household, those that you have responsibility for as well. There's something really special about resting in community with other people, spending time to relax and unwind with other people rather than by ourselves. And notice in these verses that it also applies to others living in your community who may not have been Jewish. So how does that work in our secular 7-day-a-week culture? My interpretation of this is that it doesn't necessarily mean that all shops and services have to close on the same day every week. That's not going to happen in our culture. But it does mean that as Christians, we have a real responsibility to be campaigning for good enough pay and working conditions so that people can afford to take a day off work every week and people can get the rest that they need. And of course, if you're an employer or a boss and you have people working for you, you have a responsibility to make sure that they're able to get that weekly rest. Why? Why are God's people told to do this? Well, because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God's work was finite and constrained and came to an end, and so should ours. It reminds us that work is not an end in itself, but gives us permission to stop and to enjoy the fruits of our work. I recently heard this quote from TV comedian Joe Lycett, that well-known theologian, I don't think. He said, "If I'm not working, I feel like I'm wasting time." How depressing is that? If I'm not working, I feel like I'm wasting time. God's people are not only encouraged to stop working, but commanded to stop working. And we're not wasting time. We're actually modelling our Heavenly Father when we do that. And that's definitely not a waste of time. The Deuteronomy version of this commandment in Deuteronomy 5 gives quite a similar instruction, but a different reason for the same instruction. It says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So why Sabbath? Because it reminds you that you used to be slaves. You used to have to toil in the hot Egyptian sun, making money for someone else. But God has set you free. So don't become a slave to work again, because God himself has set you free. So for the Israelites, the Sabbath day reminded them that their identity as God's people came not from the work they did during the week, but from God's rescue of them at the Exodus when he brought them out of Egypt. And it's the same for us. As Christians, where is our identity? Where is our security? Where is our hope? Is it in the 6 days a week that we work? No, of course it's not. It's in God's rescue of us that he achieves in Jesus at the cross when he set us free from sin and death. So Sabbath is all about remembering what God has done and that it's he who gives us true freedom. Next, I think taking a day out of work a week to Sabbath demonstrates a trust in God. Imagine you're a Jewish farmer. It's harvest time, but the weather's been awful. Finally, you get a day of beautiful sunshine, and of course, it falls on the Sabbath. What do you do? Do you do the sensible thing and bring the harvest in because you don't know what the weather's going to be like next week? Or do you stop and rest? Tough. What about us? Maybe money is really tight at the moment, and you feel you can't afford to turn down paid work. Can you trust God to provide what you need? Maybe the culture where you work is to be responding to emails all day, every day, day and night. Can you trust God that you can turn your phone off for a day a week and not reply to those emails? Would God look after you and your career if you did that? how about if you're the kind of person who's always been asked to help out with things at church or to help a friend with favours? What would it look like if every now and then you said, actually, no, I can't do that. I need to rest. Will God look after you when you do that? So we've talked about Sabbath as a commandment, but my question is, do Christians need to keep the Sabbath? Well, the short answer is no, actually, no. Because the Sabbath, particularly with all the intricacies of what you could and couldn't do and when it started and when it stopped, that's part of the Jewish law that Jesus came to set us free from. So no, we don't need to keep the Sabbath. But why wouldn't you? Jesus said that the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is one of God's gifts to us. It's a means of his grace. It helps us to experience his goodness. Why would we not want to do that? I see Sabbath as a spiritual discipline, like praying or like reading the Bible. Does doing those things make you a Christian? No, of course not. Can you be a Christian and not do those things? Well, I suppose you could, but why would you choose to? God has given us the spiritual disciplines, including the discipline of Sabbath, as a way for us to get to know him better, to experience him more fully. And why would you not choose to do those things? There are lots of Christian books and writings on the topic of what a modern Christian Sabbath might look like, so I'm not going to go into that right now. But I think it keeps the same characteristics of worship and community and rest that we've already talked about. It doesn't have to be a Sunday. In fact, Sue and I were sharing just now that Sundays can be quite busy for Christians and might not be the most restful day. So you might choose another day of the week to enjoy your Sabbath rest. But I invite you just to pause for a moment and think, how could you incorporate the strands of worship and community and rest into your weekly routine? I find it increasingly important to set aside time every day to do those things, to consciously enter God's presence in prayer and worship, to stop my to-do list and take a moment to rest. As an introvert, I find the community bit a bit harder because I need time by myself to recharge, but I do plan time spent with people as well. It's so important. As a family, we're still working out what our weekly Sabbath is going to look like, but it certainly includes spending time as a family, maybe going for a walk or playing a game, maybe spending time with friends, spending time worshipping God, perhaps here on a Sunday morning or perhaps in a different way. We're certainly not perfect, so if anyone's got good ideas for a family Sabbath, I'd be really glad to hear them. But it's important that we do make time for these things. All right, next, I want to talk about Sabbath again as a way of life, because I believe that God is inviting us not just to Sabbath once a week, but to enjoy it as a way of life. So we said, didn't we, that the Sabbath day is a day that is holy, set apart for the Lord. But in Paul's letter to the Colossians, we read this, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So actually, there's no division between secular work and the sacred Sabbath, because all of life is holy when lived for the Lord. So I believe that Jesus is inviting us to live with Sabbath as a way of life again, like Adam and Eve back at the start. Work and rest are both holy because God is involved in both. What a joy to live that Sabbath lifestyle where worship and community and rest are intermingled throughout our day. We're told to pray continually, aren't we? That's part of our worship. And I just think that we are called to see all of life as holy, not just one special day a week. And undergirding all of this is trust in a God who will provide for us. So for Christians, Sabbath is both a weekly discipline and a way of life. Finally, I want to talk about one other type of work that we all do all the time, the work of trying to prove ourselves. Perhaps that is literally at work, trying to prove that you are up to the job, or maybe trying to prove that you should be in a better paid one. Maybe that's when you're with other people, the work of trying to prove that you're a good, decent person who deserves to be treated with respect and kindness. Maybe it's the work of trying to prove to yourself that you're good enough. Maybe you struggle with feelings of self-doubt. And all of us, deep down, are trying to prove ourselves to God. The Jews tied themselves in knots with rules and sub-rules about what they could and couldn't do at different times in order to please God. We don't do that exactly, perhaps. But perhaps you secretly feel that God will only provide for me if I'm good enough. God will only look after me if I obey him and do everything carefully. Sabbath reminds us that God's goodness is not based in our work, but is based in his work. God rescued his people from Egypt. They didn't deserve it. He provided through them as they wandered through the desert. They didn't deserve that either. And he will do the same for us. He will rescue, he has rescued us, and he will provide for us. Remember, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. And so our work of trying to do that is futile. Do you remember that at the start I said that I rarely complete things and that they're rarely good? Well, it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? How many of us can look back on our lives so far and say, I've done everything God asked me to do, and it was all good? Not many, I suspect. But the wonderful truth is that in Jesus, all the stuff we've done and said and thought that was less than good has been forgiven, has been taken away. And so when we come to the cross, we hear the voice of Jesus saying, it is good. And that work of trying to get right with God, what did Jesus say as he died on the cross? It is finished. The work of putting people right with God has been completed. It's finished. There's nothing else to achieve. It's finished and it is good. So we can live in that Sabbath rest and the knowledge of that every day. This is the good news that our society needs to hear, isn't it? That when we're weary and worn down by life and feel that our best just isn't good enough, we can come to Jesus and find true, deep rest. Because in him, the work is finished and it is good. Remember Jesus' invitation that we started with. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus' yoke, like a pair of cattle or oxen would have worn when ploughing a field, speaks of work, doesn't it? It's certainly not laziness, but it's work that fits us well, like a purpose-made yoke. It's what we were made to do, even if it's hard sometimes. It's intentional as we learn from Jesus, and it's rooted in his character, his goodness and his gentleness and his humility, which means that we can trust him. This is the rest that our souls long for. The rest of being in the right place and doing the right things. The rest of being known and accepted and loved. The rest of being with Jesus and delighting in him. I want to end with a quote from St. Augustine of Hippo, who said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. So if you're feeling restless this morning, then I invite you to come to Jesus and trust him, to lay down whatever burdens you're carrying at his cross and surrender to him. But then to take up his yoke, to learn from him and to live in the Sabbath rest that he gives. Amen. We're going to take a couple of minutes just to respond to that in prayer. And as I was preparing for this morning, I just felt the word stop and saw a big red stop sign that you see when you're driving. And I just wondered if whether for a couple of people here, there might be something that you need to stop doing in order to rest. Let's spend a couple of moments reflecting on this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath rest. We thank you that there is no guilt in stopping and resting like you did. This morning, we surrender to you, Jesus, our burdens and our weariness. Please help us to trust you. Help us to trust you to provide for us. Lord Jesus, as we lay our burdens down, show us the yoke that you want us to take up. Show us where you do want us to put our time and energy. Heavenly Father, may we live with Sabbath as a way of life in worship and rest and community as you intended for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can find rest in him, because in him it is finished and it is good. Amen.